Wow, as we're ending towards the final climax of the Book of Acts, it's almost like this plot thickens and it's Paul going up into the high places, into the courts of the Roman people, and especially going to Caesar. And so, you know, here we find in Acts chapter 26, this beautiful testimony of Paul. Isn't it amazing? We must all be able to share our testimony. And it testimony consists out of three parts. How was my life before I came to know Christ? How did I meet Jesus? And what happened afterwards? Not just the bad stuff, but how did he transform my life? How did things change in my life? And so in verse 1 to 11, he talks about this extreme persecution of the church. He says, I was zealous. I was on my way. He even says in the middle of the day, he went to Damascus, because nobody traveled in the middle of the day. But he was so persistent to go and destroy this false truth, which became the thing that changed his life, was Jesus himself. So we also see in the first couple of verses that the centrality, or the central part of his message, was the resurrection to King Agrippa. He's talking to this guy. There's a whole court. You must imagine the scene of him standing in front of these majestic figures in the Roman law and the Roman Empire. And yet he had such a boldness. He just spoke. He says, look here, I am a testament and a testimony to the resurrection of Christ. And so he begins to talk about this road to Damascus. And there's a couple of things. I love it. You know, the word apostolos is the sent one, the commissioned one. Then from verse 12 to 18, there's a couple of beautiful things we can learn. He says, he quotes the words of Jesus. He says, why are you persecuting me, Paul? And then there's a couple of things the Lord tells him what he must do. Listen to this in verse 17 and 18. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And then he mentions a couple of things that will happen, because this is the result of the gospel that we preached. He says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So first you're going to see. Secondly, the power of God is going to be manifest in your life. From the power of God away from the power of Satan. Then the third thing is that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. Sure. So that there's a cleansing, the righteousness of Christ. And the fourth thing, an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. So you also receive an inheritance, not just forgiveness, but you start to walk in a life, a sanctified life. So he quotes Jesus. These four things are the fruit of somebody that has repented. You know, beautiful, beautiful picture. Opening their eyes, turning them from darkness to light, the power of Satan broken, the power of sin broken. That's the gospel that we share. But in those verses, Jesus also asked him, he says, Paul, is it hard for you to kick against the goads? What's that? It's the spikes. You know, when a new ox was put in to the yoke, there was a yoke where two ox pulled together. The younger oxes never wanted to submit under the yoke of that ox. And so what they did is that the ox would kick all the time. And at the bottom, there would be a rod with spikes in. And so in the beginning, he would kick, but then eventually would realize like, no, I'm actually kicking against this and it's hurting me every time. And this is the picture God gives Paul. Now, the modern day concept of submission is so difficult, especially for the Western church. You know, when we talk about submission in the home, for instance, people are so negative. They think, well, it's subjection, but there's a difference. Submission is because we know we trust the one to whose will we surrender. And so here, the first thing the Lord says, hey, Paul, all this persecution, all that you're going through, it's so hard because you're kicking against the conviction. You're kicking against my real will for your life. Is it hard for you? And it's almost like Paul has been having this frustration and this passion that he has. He's just been wrongly directed, you know. And so for us as well, there's a lot of believers that love Jesus, but they don't want to submit to his lordship. They don't want to submit to the fear of God. And so here is sort of the key to Paul's ministry in the New Testament. He says, I'm going to submit to the lordship of Christ. And that's why he had this boldness, because he was also a witness. I love what the New King James, the Spirit-filled Life Bible, says about this word for witnessing. Is the word martyrio, which means giving evidence, attesting, confirming, confessing, bearing record, speaking well of, giving a good report, testifying, affirming that one has seen, heard, or experienced something. You know? So Paul was testifying. And that's what the Lord said. That's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And the question to you and I is, can we give evidence of Christ today? What is the testimony of your life? What is the evidence of Christ in your life? Otherwise, we just become religious. We just go to church. And so Paul says, no, no, I am testifying. I'm giving evidence even in front of you, King Agrippa. So then we go on in verse 19 to 23. He talks about the message that he preached. You know, we saw the result of that message is the opening the eyes, the darkness to light, the power of Satan to the power of God, forgiveness of sins and inheritance. But the message he preached, and that is so important. You know, what did he say in verse 19 to 23? He says, firstly, repent. It's to have a different mind. That's what repentance means. Think differently. Secondly, repent and turn to God. You know, turn from your ways. 180 degree turn. To have a different mind, the word metanoia, different action, different direction. That's what begins to happen when we really repent. And then the third thing that he's very clear on, he says, you must bear fruits worthy of that repentance. Yeah? It's the love, it's the character of Christ that we begin to manifest. Otherwise, we have not really repented. Just praying a little sinner's prayer doesn't mean you've really repented. There must really be sorrow of your sin, different action, different way of thinking, different direction. And maybe God is calling some of us to repent of some things in our lives. Because, hey, not just saying, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, or I don't want to be caught out. You know, that's just not godly sorrow. But true repentance is I have a different action, different direction. I begin to follow God and His ways, and I begin to bear fruit. It becomes part of my testimony. And that's so beautiful about Paul. He was not ashamed to say, hey, I killed people. Look at what I did. But look at what Christ did in my life. And then the last part where Paul is very bold, you know, he's a prisoner, he's in chain, standing in front of this massive king and all these Roman people. But then he actually begins to give this picture to us. He says, like, King Agrippa, I'm not actually chained. You are. You know, he actually begins to say with such a boldness that you're actually the prisoner. He doesn't say it in words like that, but that's the picture with the boldness and the freedom that he has in Christ. And the king almost is like, whoa, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. You know, that's what our lives should bear fruit of. You know, we are not prisoners anymore. We've been set free. Even when we're in the dungeon or in prison physically, hey, we've been set free. He's come to set the captives free. So I want to pray for you for that boldness, a boldness to preach the gospel, a boldness to see the effect of the real gospel. Reinhard Bonnke says, you know, preach the original gospel and you'll have the original results that the Bible talks about. Don't preach a watered-down gospel. We don't have that opportunity anymore. Let's preach the truth in Christ, in love. So I want to pray for that boldness. Father, we want to thank you. And I want to thank you for the freedom of the gospel. Lord, that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. Lord, and like you said to Paul on the road of Damascus, and like Paul testified, Lord, may we bear fruits worthy of repentance. May we break the power of darkness over people's lives as your gospel bears fruit in our communities, in our families, in our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.